This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Christian perspective on the news does not necessarily reflect the opinions of Radio K Pulpit or the on-air presenter, but is the independent viewpoint of the individual contributor. Please send an email to info@kpulpit.co.za should you have any further inquiries.
Christian perspective on the news.
Fridays are time with Dr. Peter Hammond, the founder of Frontline Fellowship, the Reformation Society, Africa Christian Action, and the William Carey Bible Institute. Always good having you. Good morning, Dr. Hammond.
Thank you so very much. Good morning, Brad. The scripture says in Proverbs 14, verse, exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Now, there continues to be more fallout over the G20, which fortune actually, I believe, billions was put into the G20. And our president has declared that we held a successful G20. Because being respected more through how we handle it, but that's not the way others see it. So interesting to hear the comments of United States Secretary of State Marco Rubio, who says South Africa entered the post institutions, excellent infrastructure and global goodwill. It possessed the world's most valuable resources, some of the best agricultural land on the planet, and was located around one of the world's key trading routes. And that in Nelson Mandela, South Africa had a leader who understood that reconciliation and the private sector-driven economy would provide the only path to a nation of growth where every citizen could prosper. But then he said, sadly, Mandela's successors have replaced reconciliation with redistributionist policies and driven South Africa's most talented citizens abroad. And racial quotas have crippled the public sector and corruption has bankrupted the state. He said the effects of these choices are visible in South Africa's economic trajectory. Numbers speak for themselves. South Africa's economy has stagnated under its regulatory regime driven by racial grievance. And South Africa falls firmly outside of the group of the 20 largest industrialized economies. And he accused the ANC-led government of avoiding accountability for its economic decline. In fact, they're in denial over that indeed. Rather than taking responsibility for its failings, the radical ANC-led South African government has sought to scapegoat its own citizens and the United States. So Marco Rubio says, as President Donald Trump has highlighted, the Southern government's appetite for racism and its tolerance for violence against, amongst others, its Afrikaans citizens, have become embedded as core domestic policies. It seems intent on enriching itself, while the country's economy limps along and all South Africans are subject to violence, discrimination, and land confiscation without compensation. And so there's been a lot of criticism for South Africa's foreign policy choices and saying the South African former ambassador to the United States was openly hostile to America, which isn't very with Iran, the entertainment of Hamas sympathizers and cozying up to the enemies of the United States have moved it from the family of nations we once called close. So this is not the description of a success. Marco Rubio also accused South Africa of damaging the credibility of the G20 during its presidency in 2025. The politics of grievance carried over to South Africa's presidency of the G20 this month, with an excise in spite, division, and racial agendas which have nothing to do with economic growth. And South Africa focused on climate change, which is an absolute fraud, diversity, inclusion, aid dependency as central tenets of its working groups. It routinely ignored American objections to consensus communiques and statements. It blocked the United States and other countries into negotiations and actively ignored all reasonable faith efforts to negotiate. It doxed U.S. officials working on these negotiations and fundamentally tarnished G20's reputation. So the fallout over the mismanaging of the G20 in South Africa continues, and that South Africa will not be invited to participate in the 2026 G20 summit in Miami. And South Africa has effectively been excluded itself now from the G20 in future. And Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State of the United States, says the United States supports the people of South Africa, but not the radical ANC-led government, and will not tolerate its continued behavior. When South Africa decides it has made the tough decisions needed to fix its broken system and is ready to rejoin the family of prosperous and free nations, the United States will have a seat for it at our table. Until then, America will be forging ahead with a new G20. So the G20 is being restructured to exclude being so hostile and so foolish in decisions made and statements made and the rudeness. I mean, even the talk about we don't support boycott politics. Well, the ANC is built on boycott politics. And remember when special stage, not even allowed to play soccer or cricket or rugby and not allowed Olympics, and the ANC fully supported boycott politics in those days in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. To suddenly say they don't support boycott politics seems to be a bit of a denial of history. So that's all disturbing, and we should be concerned for. So scripture makes it clear that acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent, the Lord detests them both. Proverbs 17:15. The Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, it is he who will save us. Isaiah 33 verse 22 makes it clear, government, and we need to be clear on where we stand. 2 Chronicles 19 verse 2 says, should you help the world because of this, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are hearers of drinking drinks, who acquit the to the innocent. Isaiah 5 makes it very clear. We really need to return to God. This arrogance in politics, this racial quotas and politics of grievance and our international friends. But Psalm 108 verse 13 says, through our God we shall gain down our enemies. And we need to be sure where we stand. And it is absolutely clear there's no future in politics of grievance. There's no future in raking up the past. There's no future in racism. There's no future in hate. And you can't build a nation by chanting hate slogans like kill the Boer, kill the farmer, and nonsense like that. Our country has had an opportunity to really be part of the international leadership of industrialized nations and has instead decided to commit economic sabotage and economic suicide through insane policies. And this expropriation of compensation bill, or what they now want to call nil compensation, like that's any difference. This chases away investors. This kills the growth of the every year that the ANC has been in power. We've increased the number of unemployed by about 1 million. There were about 2 million unemployed people in 1994. Today, we've got more than 34 million unemployed in the country. So it seems that unemployment just grows with every single year. And the poor young people graduating from a trick have no jobs to come to. We need to return back to biblical principles, free enterprise, and one law for all, and not a two-tier justice system. This is the way of destruction, chasing away investors, chasing away employers, chasing away citizens and entrepreneurs does not give any hope. We need to have a future of a hope. And I believe there's good hope for the Cape, and the Cape of Good Hope could build its own future where we have a non-racial, free enterprise-based economy where we literally seek the friendship of great and free nations overseas instead of insulting them, and where we allow our citizens to decide, pushing it down on people no matter what they say. And so there's a hope and a future for self-determination in the Western Cape, but one wonders what hope there is in the national system when we've got racism and hatred at the very core and a tolerance for violence and appetite for violence has now turned many people who used to be our friends overseas into critics and adversaries. And here South Africa had an opportunity with hosting the G20, and they were given so much warnings and instead decided to be arrogant and to be insulting. And the idea that our president said, we will build a different G20 without any regard to the United States. The United States is the biggest economy on earth. They can determine what the G20 should be. And for us who were never really qualifying for one of 20 most industrialized nations on earth in terms of economy. We are smaller than some of the small states within the United States, and they've got 50 states. And it's been extremely foolish to be arrogant. Pride comes before fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. There's room for some humility here and trying to learn. And I think the president and the country, with Secretary of State Marco Rubio, has said he's nailed it down. He's put his finger on a lot of the problems. And quite right, I do believe we stop chasing away investors and start being a country that respects private ownership of property, respects the rule of law, respects the law. There's no place for hate and violence and singing about killing certain groups within the country. So we need to return to the Lord. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. It is he who will save us.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.